Imagine being so bold and so black that one day you stand up to your huge corporation and you say, you need to pay some podcaster $100 million simply because they're black. Yeah, maybe you're feeling encouraged to say that sort of a thing, to make those sorts of demands because, well, I don't know, BLM. BLM's around and you're just feeling like you could squeeze anything out of company execs. Fast forward and your company hears you, and about a year later they decide, actually, not only are we not going to do that, but we're going to get rid of you as a podcast host. Well, that is what has happened to Jemiel Hill, and I cannot stop laughing about it because, to be frank, she's unbearable. Plus, later on in the show, we're going to be discussing a heavily pregnant transgendered individual who has been featured on the cover of Glamour UK's June Pride issue. Yep, we're definitely going to talk about that, all that and much more today on Candace Owens. So Jemiel Hill is Unbothered. That is the name of her Spotify podcast. It should be updated now to Jemiel Hill is Unemployed, because she is. And it's interesting. It's great, honestly, because there have been a small group of black individuals whose voices have been so loud on Twitter, so pro-BLM. When I say pro-BLM, it's not about them believing that black lives actually matter. They're not talking about fairness. They're not talking about equity. They're not talking about inclusion. What they really mean is that they believe that black people should be able to shake down corporations, a la the NAACP. We're black and we're here. And even if we don't have any talent, we expect you to pay us because of the slavery that we did not live through. Do you hear me? That's essentially been her perspective. And it has been really, quote unquote, unbearable to witness the things that she has said on Twitter. I'll give you just one such example of how her mind, which has been rotted by BLM, similar to Don Lemon, thinks. So there's a football player. His name is Devontae Adams. And one day he just sort of decides to assault a reporter. And I'm laughing because it's just so pointedly ridiculous that any person would do this. I get it. Rah, 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 football. You're feeling super powerful and encouraged. And there's a lot of adrenaline going through your body. But this? Take a look. He pretends an accent. No, he just keeps walking. He just goes, yeah, yeah. Push, watches the man fall, crumble in front of him, and then just keeps walking. Amazing, by the way, if you consider Jemiel's perspective, which is essentially, of course, that black men just can't get ahead. We're facing racism. We're so scared of racism that when we see a white reporter, we just push him to the ground and don't even stop and say, are you okay? We just keep on walking to our locker room. Man, got to get me some of that racism. Well, she sees this video, obviously it goes viral, and people are condemning him because he should be condemned. And the outcome, of course, is that he is charged with a misdemeanor assault, because he should have been charged with a misdemeanor assault. I can imagine if I was a reporter and I just got shoved by a man of that size for quite literally no reason other than possibly his own internal frustration because of the game that he's potentially losing. I don't know. I'm not here to make up excuses for somebody who does that. But Jemiel Hill and people of her ilk are, right? These BLM rotted people are here to make up excuses. So ESPN ran a headline. It said, Devontae Adams has been charged with misdemeanor assault for shoving a credentialed media worker. Adams was cited for an intentional overt act that inflicted bodily injury, according to court records that were released on Wednesday. Jemiel Hill sees this and she tweets, totally on brand for how black men are treated by the police, willing to go above and beyond to prove a point. What? I'm sorry, what? I think what she meant to write was what Devontae Adams did was obviously horrific. And of course, this is exactly what should happen. And of course, this has nothing to do with police officers or black men. There's not a police officer in sight. Maybe if there was one, they could have stopped him from what he was about to do, which was assaulting a media member for entirely no reason other than his own frustrations at what was likely the game that he was playing. This is how she goes on and on. I'll give you some more examples of her race-baity type tweets. Here's one she wrote. It's not the messaging, folks. This country simply loves white supremacy. That was her in 2021, back in November. She also wrote this about Tyre Nichols. She wrote, I need so many people to understand this regarding Tyre Nichols. Several of the police officers who murdered Freddie Gray were black. The entire system of policing is based on white supremacist violence. We see people under the boot of oppression carrying its water all the time. Now, why did she write that? Because Tyre Nichols, a video of him being assaulted by police officers, showed that he was assaulted by all black police officers. But still, she was able to contort and to twist and to make this about white supremacy, because that's what she's always focused on, which is the idea that she believes that white people, no matter what, should be blamed. And she likes this idea because there happens to be a lot of white executives that she wants to extract wealth from. She's even gone so far as to utterly pervert MLK's past messages. He told us that he would like to live in a country where his children would not grow up and be judged by the color of their skin. That makes sense. Of course, he was working toward a colorblind society. You don't look at somebody's skin color and judge them. But no, not according to Ms. Jemele Hill, who knows absolutely nothing. She tweeted, MLK wasn't working toward a colorblind society. He was working toward an equal, non-oppressive society. The I Have a Dream speech is directed at white people who were creating and furthering systems that kept Black Americans under the boot of oppression. Funny, because I distinctly remember MLK having tons of white supporters and tons of white people also being present for that speech. But what do I know? I am not as idiotic as Jemele Hill is, so it's difficult for me to work through whatever she's not thinking. But it was probably most daring to be collecting a check from a company as big as Spotify for a podcast that absolutely nobody listens to, and to think, you know what, people are getting paid for nothing. And by the way, she was right. It was one of the most egregious things about BLM is that Netflix was signing deals with people. I mean, look at what they signed, a deal with Harry and Meghan. Meghan was going to create content and all about being a little Black girl, which she suddenly wanted to identify as, because people were getting paid for being Black in the press and calling themselves victims. You had Patrice Cullors, who signed a deal, I believe it was with HBO, which we discovered last week. It no longer went through. They kind of quietly walked away from the deal because she's completely talentless, and they were just scared. Everybody was shaking. And so Jemele Hill was feeling empowered by this as well, and she dared Spotify. She openly dared the place that she worked for to pay a Black host $100 million. Now, she never said, pay me, but we all know what she was thinking. I'm a host here. I'm a Black host. What would you think if I said, I double dog dare the Daily Wire to pay a Black host $100 million? By the way, I do. If they're listening, if the executive's listening to the Daily Wire, I double dog dare you to pay a Black host. I only see one. So it's not, I'm not saying me. I'm just saying I double dog dare you to pay $100 million to a Black host. So this is what she did. And maybe she waited with bated breath to see if they would take the BLM bait. And they didn't. Nope. Spotify. Gotta say, now, not exactly saying that they aren't woke, but I will say that they have taken on Joe Rogan, who definitively is not woke and takes on a lot of controversial topics, and they've stood by him throughout those controversial topics. And she was making this comment about paying a Black host $100 million when she heard that they were going to pay Joe Rogan $100 million. And I wonder why they're paying Joe Rogan $100 million. Maybe it's because people like to listen to Joe Rogan. He doesn't moan and whine and complain about his circumstances all the time, because he talks to interesting people about interesting topics, because he has more to offer than white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy. Now open your wallets. They didn't decide to pay him $100 million because of his skin color. In fact, I don't even know what Joe Rogan is, quite frankly. He keeps his hair cut pretty low. For all I know, is he mixed? Is he Italian? Is he white? Is he part Black? I have no idea. And that's the beauty of it, because when you are actually talented, nobody actually cares to research what your background is. And Jemele Hill, unfortunately, is not talented. She has been a burden everywhere that she has worked. She was a burden to ESPN. She's a burden to Spotify. She's someone that talks a lot about dividing this country further and believes that it's because she's empowered. In reality, now it's going to be similar. I'm going to add her to the pile like Don Lemon. Who wants to work with someone like that? Everybody can look at your work history and see what you are. You're a race hustler, Jemele Hill. And so guess what? They decided not to renew her podcast, which is not earning them any money. They said what has been announced, what Bloomberg is reporting, rather, is that Spotify needed to rein in costs and deliver profits. And she was a cost and did not contribute to any profits. So bye-bye, Jemele Hill. And why I love this story is because it feels bigger than that. It feels like we're saying bye-bye to Black Lives Matter. It feels like we're waving goodbye finally in this country to the idea of a race hustle. People are being emboldened. Companies are starting to realize, you know what? After finding out that $90-plus million was not even spent on the Black community because you had me feeling white and guilty, after realizing that I hired all of these Black individuals that I knew were not talented and actually cannot turn a profit, maybe it's time for us to just hire the best person for the job. No matter what they look like, right? Who cares what they look like, if it's a male or if it's a female. I'm going to hire the right person for a job. Maybe, hear me out, this is going to sound crazy. Maybe it's time for America to revert back to a meritocracy. Yeah, merit-based system. And clearly what has happened here with Jemele Hill proves that people are done with BLM. Hey, goodbye, Black Lives Matter. And that's all I have to say about that. President Trump recently issued a warning from his Mar-a-Lago home. He said, quote, our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat, frankly, in 200 years. There are three reasons that central banks are dumping the U.S. dollar: inflation, deficit spending, and our insurmountable national debt. The fact is, there is one asset that has withstood famine, wars, and political and economic upheaval dating back to biblical times, and that's gold. You can own gold in a tax-sheltered retirement account with the help of Birch Gold. Birch Gold will help you convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA that's backed in gold. The best part is you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. When currencies fail, gold is a safe haven. How much time does dollar have? Protect your savings with gold. Text Candace to 989898 to claim your free information kit. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, and countless five-star reviews, I trust Birch Gold to protect my future, and you can too. That's Candace to 989898. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Speaking of race hustling, Prince Harry and his super black kids, who are actually as white as driven snow, but who cares, because his super black wife, who also does not look black at all, and him have managed to concoct a narrative that they are suffering racism at the hands of now every, it's really everybody, it's all of us, we're all racist towards Prince Harry's wife. Just don't even think about it. You are racist. If you even thought about Prince Harry or his wife once, you're racist, okay? Let's just all own that and let it sit with us for a little bit and try to process how we can become better people. And I have to say, I am now a fan. I've been converted. I've radically been converted to a Prince Harry fan. I am now, I stan the Sussexes. I am so Team Sussex. It hurts after this story that I read today, unbelievably. You remember, they're suing everybody. They threatened to sue you. Take a picture of them. You're getting sued. Your mom is getting sued. You know, they survived a near catastrophic car chase throughout Manhattan, which is always bumper to bumper traffic. But it's, you know, the idea is like, yeah, people, now we're trying to kill them. And I feel sad about that. And we should just own it. We are all obviously trying to kill them with paparazzi. And we're just trying to make him suffer pain. And it's racism and it's paparazzi that are trying to kill him. And we're all a part of the evil ecosystem that makes him a perpetual victim. I agree with it all, Harry. I'm on your side now, as I said, radical conversion here. Well, as a part of his constant battle with the press, he has been involved in a lawsuit against the Mirror, the UK Mirror, and its publisher for allegedly hacking his phone. He believes that they have hacked his phone. They're saying that, no, these little tidbits were given to them. We don't need to recount the entire case that's going on, but Harry was, in fact, due in the High Court in London the other day. And he missed the first day of court. It's, you can't even make this up. He did not show up for the first day of court. And I'm going to read you the back and forth between the presiding judge, Mr. Justice Van Court, great name, Van Court works if you're a judge, and Barrister David Sherborne, who is Harry's lawyer on the case. So the judge wanted to know why the Duke of Sussex was not in court, considering it was the first day of his trial. And his lawyer said, the Duke of Sussex is attending tomorrow to give evidence. He flew yesterday evening from Los Angeles. He was attending his daughter's birthday yesterday, and he arrives. The judge then interrupts and says, I'm a little surprised that the first witness is not going to be available today. Harry's lawyer says, he's in a different category to the other three claimants because of his travel arrangements and his security arrangements. You cannot make this up. That is actually what the lawyer said. My client is in a different category. You know, Prince Harry and Meghan, they're just trying to be regular people. They're down with the poor folks. You know, they just want to roll their sleeves up and get dirty. But also, they can't be bothered to show up for the first day of their trial because he'd rather be at his daughter's birthday. Well, oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the rest of us would like to do a lot of things rather than be responsible and show up, especially when we are the ones that are claiming that our phones got hacked. How disrespectful to the system. But he's a prince. I've realized at the end of the day, what's wrong with Prince Harry is that he's a prince. He was literally raised the silver spoon in his mouth. He's not like us regular folk. He thinks he is, but obviously he isn't. And this is why his brain, he doesn't understand why the paparazzi don't listen and hand over their files when they take pictures of him. He actually thinks he's a king. If he's going through anything, he's a trans king, right? He's a king stuck in a little boy Duke's body. And that's hard. And that's why I'm actually on the trans king side. I think it's sad. I think he really deep down in there, there's an absolute monarchy happening. And so, yeah, who cares if he filed this lawsuit? He doesn't want to be there for the first day for it to go through. And as his lawyer says, you guys need to understand he's in a different category to the other three claimants because of his travel arrangements and his security arrangements, which is really interesting because there have been a lot of much more famous, much more powerful people who seem to be able to make it to court. Most notably, I guess, Taylor Swift. Remember that lawsuit when she filed because somebody touched her butt? And great, by the way, great on her. She stood up for herself. She only sued him for $1, but she said it was sexual harassment and she shut up at trial. I don't know how she did it. Yeah, and I guess she didn't have travel arrangements and security arrangements that she was concerned about. What about Kim Kardashian? Didn't she recently show up to court with her entire family over that Black China case? Yeah, she made it. Weren't we just reporting a couple of months ago on Gwyneth Paltrow and the ski case? Yeah, despite being unbelievably rich and famous, Gwyneth Paltrow was also able to make it to court. And then there was Ed Sheeran. That was a couple of weeks ago. We covered that court case, another civil trial. And he seemed to be able to stop what he was doing and make the travel arrangements to make it to court in New York. But it's different, guys. It's different because this time it's Prince. And it's Prince, the king trapped inside of his absolute monarch body. And it's unbelievable that anybody would think that he has to show up for the first day of his trial, even if he's been instructed to. Because in an absolute monarchy, you cannot be instructed to do anything. And I'm on his side. I'm really sick and tired of the harassment and the nastiness toward my client, my dear friend, my homeboy, Prince Harry, and his very Black family. His family is very Black, and you're a very bad person if you can't see that and you don't see the struggles that they are going through. And that is all I'm going to say on that topic. Moving on, guys, we have to get to this story because it is Pride Month, and I am proud. What I'm proud of, I'm not quite sure, but I know that we're supposed to spend this time, as I said yesterday, just promoting every ideology, whatever you think you are. That is it. That is what this month is all about. It is rainbows and sprinkles and pride. And I am feeling extra proud. And I wish I was wearing a rainbow shirt right now, because how would you know I was prideful and proud unless I was wearing rainbows and cotton candy. So I will do better next time. But anyways, putting the spotlight on a transgendered man, trans people have a right to exist, and I'm going to exist them this month. A heavily pregnant transgendered man. Am I reading that right? A heavily pregnant transgendered man. Yeah, that's what it says. Has been featured on the cover of Glamour UK's June Pride digital issue. And if you have questions about this, it's because you're a bigot. So I'm just going to give you guys a second to figure out whether or not you're a bigot. Take a pause here. Are you confused by the idea of a pregnant man? Well, there's something wrong with you. And the reason that they're putting this individual on the cover is not to be shocking or daring, but to let you know that this can happen sometimes. You might be a man and you might get pregnant. So that really, I think, is the biggest news, that like men, you guys might be pregnant. So all of you might want to go get tested or something, okay? Just looking at a few guys right now and a cameraman telling them, I don't know, they might be pregnant. I'm shook. Anyways, this is what this transgendered man has to say about his Logan's pregnancy. Take a listen.
I am a trans pregnant man and I do exist, so no matter what anyone says, I literally am living proof. I think what makes me feel empowered as a trans man is that whoever I say I am is exactly who I am, and that's like no one could ever take that away from me, and I've learned that recently. And the fact that now I get to bring a child up to just like for her to know that she can be authentically herself and love whoever she wants, like that's really powerful for me.
That is really powerful for me as well. It really is one of them powerful for me as well to be able to realize that actually I'm actually whatever I say I am. And at the moment, I'm Candace Owens. I'm a Black man from somewhere in the UK region. And I might be a Skittle tomorrow. I don't know. And that's really the lesson. What conservatives are getting wrong, obviously, it's really weird that conservatives keep calling trans individuals crazy. I mean, obviously, the person that you just saw, totally sane, totally has a good head on that shoulder of theirs, thems. And that's why I want to shine a spotlight on it. I want to allow people to, rather than me suggesting, which I never would, and if I did, I don't know, that this individual might be not stable. I want to show you how stable these individuals are. And this, that individual obviously is so stable that they're excited about raising up a child, the prospect of letting that child know that whatever they think they are. And so it is, could it get dangerous? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe if a child says, I am actually Superman and tries to fly off the building, it could get dangerous. But what even is reality? What even is gravity? Like, if you think it, you are. And maybe the toddler can fly. Maybe the problem really is that we are all in a box. Like, reality is putting me in a box. And now I'm out of that box. And I realize that some toddlers might be able to fly. Some pigs might be able to fly. The expression makes no sense. Maybe we're all pigs. Maybe Superman was a pig that was flying. And that is where I'm at this month. More pride and power to you. You guys, you're not going to believe this. Biden, he's on the freaking ground again. Every time I look up, he's down. It's crazy. He fell again. I don't know. He's just having trouble walking like all the time. And I feel bad because I don't laugh at old people falling, but I do laugh at Biden falling because it just happens so much. And it's like, we should just be able to enjoy it, enjoy the fact that he's saying he's going to run again and he can't even walk. So I don't know how he's running again, but he is in fact going to be running again. He's announced that. And here is video footage of him taking a tumble. All right, off to good. Sorry, I might jog this one. And he's down. He's down. Oh my God, he's down again. He's down again. Oh my man, that is a lot. How it started and how it ended. I don't know. This guy is just always on the ground. I think he should just stay there. I think he should just do all of his speeches and stuff like on already sitting or on the ground. It would make it easier. Like, he should just, it would be like kumbaya about things. It's just, it's getting to a point where it's just very difficult to explain why he's always hurt. Remember, he toppled over his bike. He wasn't harmed any of the incident, so it's okay that I'm laughing a little bit, okay? He fell on his bike. He also broke his foot in 2020 when he was playing with his German Shepherd. He also fell up the stairs when he boarded Air Force One in 2021. And he also briefly stumbled while boarding Air Force One again in March on a return trip from Alabama. And repeatedly, they keep telling us it's the fault of the ground. And I would like to back that up because I'm feeling friendly. I'm team everybody but me today. And I think that it was somebody else's fault that Biden fell once again. And it reminds me, by the way, I think we got to put together a real long clip of all of Biden's falls because he's getting into the territory of greatness. And the greatest video ever of anybody who's ever fallen that is on the internet, and you probably didn't know you need to see it today so that you can laugh again because we all saw it so many years ago and it was an internet sensation. And I'm fine showing this because the girl in this video was a really good sport about it, and actually it kind of made her semi-famous. Scarlett, no one did it greater than Scarlett. Scarlett took a tumble so that we could all take a laugh. Take a listen.
Can't be together, never.
What's the groaning?
Oh, that hurt.
Still so good. It's still so funny so many years later. She is in the Fall Hall of Fame. There needs to be in a Fall Hall of Fame, and she needs to be in it, and Biden needs to be in it, but she did it so much better. So Biden, get on Scarlett's level, and then maybe some of us will take you seriously, but still probably not. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or expenses. Life insurance through your workplace may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it won't follow you if you leave your job. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies and find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find the insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius's licensed agents can help you find coverage options in as little as a week. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees, and your personal information remains private. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. So head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. All right, guys, update. So a while ago, I had covered the Armie Hammer story. Armie Hammer is the actor. He was in The Social Network. He notoriously played the Winklevoss twins, and he just was an actor that was sort of blowing up. He's been in tons of other things as well. And then suddenly a bunch of women came out and said that he was a cannibal. So yeah, that maybe grabbed a few headlines because, I don't know, it's not every day that you find someone that admits to being a cannibal, and he actually did in some messages to some young women. Obviously, he fell from grace. This was kind of the Me Too era thing where women made allegations and then voila, your career was over. No further question. He got dropped by his publicist, which was WME. He got dropped from a movie that he was working on with J-Lo. But he has always maintained that he is innocent and that the women are lying. And when I looked into everything, I came up with the same conclusion that actually, no, he's not a rapist. Is he a total freakazoid who has rape fantasies? Yes. But is he finding women to consent to his rape fantasies and saying, can I do this to you? And these women are saying yes and allowing him to live out his rape fantasies. Yes, that is the truth. Gloria Allred notoriously took on the number one person that was claiming that she was raped by him, and she had text messages. It was a girl named Effie, and she was one that began leaking all this information. And then Gloria Allred unceremoniously dropped that young woman because, as it turned out, Armie Hammer obviously had a lot of evidence showing that she completely consented to her own rape. What a weird day today is. I have said pregnant man, and I have said consented to her own rape. But yes, actually, in fact, that one is logical. He is very into BDSM, and he likes rape, pretending that he's raping individuals. That is how Armie Hammer likes to enjoy himself sexually. This woman consented to all of these things. Well, now the justice system is agreeing with Armie's version of events. He will not be charged after a sexual assault investigation. And obviously, what did he do? He likely gave all the prosecutors the evidence that showed these women were into it. But ironically, before this happened, over the weekend, I watched The House of Hammer. I watched what I could stomach. That was the documentary I was watching on HBO that was about Armie Hammer. And it was Me Too garbage. I did not feel bad for a single woman that was featured in the documentary. They were crying and they were like, and then he did this and then Armie did this and Armie did that. They were like, did you tell him no? They were like, no, I didn't. But I cried in the shower after. Did he tell you what he was into? I mean, he was so disgusting in these messages. He was very clear about what he was into. He was not hiding who he was. These women are very typical, you know. An Armie Hammer messaged them on Instagram. They went, oh my goodness, this is Armie Hammer. Not only is he a famous actor, he also comes from a billionaire family. What a leg up in my life this would be. Oh, turns out he's a little bit of a pervert and likes to talk about how he wants to own me. Literally, he said, my fantasy is, and I'm paraphrasing here, is to have you be my sex slave and at my very command, say whatever I want you to do. I have this rape fantasy. Oh, I want to bite the F out of you. I mean, it was just really graphic stuff. And the girls were like, yeah, I know that he said that, but like, I don't know. I just like, I also saw this sweet side of him and I wasn't sure if he was joking. And then he actually did it. And I still spoke with him and kept a relationship with him and met his mom. But he was just like, so sweet. I got confused. Spare me that act, young women. Okay. I'm so sick of women acting like they're so pitiful and so confused, and not that they're calculating, that they all thought that they were going to be his next wife. They want to be his next wife. Like I said, they want to get ahead in their own lives. Would have been nice to be Mrs. Billionaire Armie Hammer, and they consented to him absolutely destroying them, right, and doing things. And now they're trying to save face by saying like, oh, me too. Like I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing. Shut up. I mean, honestly, women are so annoying nowadays, huh? Huh? All right. Anyways, I'm gonna, not enough about that. Let's get into some of your comments from episodes past. First set of comments are regarding Andrew Tate. You know, we've been covering and following that case because it's just sort of unbelievable that any person can be held and first and foremost in like solitary confinement in Romania for about 60 days and now being limited to house arrest and there's no charges. That's just a world I don't want to live in. Christopher Odegaard says, thanks, Candace, for speaking the truth and standing behind him in this unprecedented, alarming behavior by the Romanian government. The fact that you can be held in prison without being charged for anything is beyond words corrupt. Absolutely. That is the only take to have on the Andrew Tate situation. As I've said over and over again, you do not need to like Andrew Tate or agree with his viewpoints to agree with the fact that what is happening right now is wrong. And if it ever happens to you, you're going to hope that people have that same sensibility to be able to defend you and say, I don't care what this person thinks. Did this person actually commit a crime? And if the answer is, I can't tell you, then they shouldn't be sitting in prison. Lisa Fazer writes, yes, I would love an Owens Tate interview. I watched the BBC interview. The interviewer had such an agenda to vilify him. Tate was sharp, articulate, and assertive. He blocked her at every turn. Yep, and I bet she grew more and more angry because that's what they tend to do. They become increasingly angry when they realize that you're not fitting into their narrative. The Duggar docuseries, which I have not watched. I told you guys it was coming out, and I just asked you the question, as a parent, if your child does something illegal, do you think that you'd be able to report them to the police? In this circumstance, I think it obviously was something that was very hard for Jim Duggar. And I just wanted to open up the discussion with you guys back at home. Louise Hardy wrote, I love my son, but when he stole a truck, I called the police. I would be as guilty as he if I had not. He had to be accountable. Yeah, if my son stole a truck, I wouldn't call the police. I'd make him call the police. I really would. I would be like, you are taking yourself to prison. And I get that perspective. The 1776 chick wrote, the Duggars and the Josh situation is what happens when you distort Christianity to mold into your own flawed belief system. Extreme legalism, zero freedom outside of the home, especially the girls. Extreme modesty standards for the girls only, telling girls it's their fault if boys lust after them. It's disturbing how they use their own version of Christianity to damage their children. Look at how all the older girls have flourished after marrying normal men who treat them as equals and cherish them. I am so proud of Jill for her boldness when everyone else wouldn't speak up. I can't really rebut anything you're saying because I haven't watched The Duggars. Actually, my little sister was obsessed with it. And I thought that they all turned out kind of well. So does that sort of mean, with the exception of the Josh situation, he's in prison. Didn't they all grow up well and marry well? So doesn't that mean that like their parents weren't so awful? Again, I'm asking the question. I haven't watched The Duggars, but I heard it was a good show. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing that you did every minute of the day? I think we can all agree that that would be pretty creepy. What if I told you that that is exactly what happens every time you go online? Your internet provider is allowed to store logs of every website that you've ever visited and can legally sell that data to anyone. That's why I always use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure server so that your internet provider can't see or log what you do online. Now, many of you might be wondering, well, if I'm routing all of my data through a VPN, then doesn't that just mean that the VPN can see what I'm doing and log my data instead? You're right to think about that. Many VPNs claim to have a no-logs policy but have been caught logging customer activity. ExpressVPN was the first major VPN provider to engineer all of their VPN servers to run in RAM. This makes it impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs of any ExpressVPN customer. Protect your online privacy today. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free at expressvpn.com/Candace. That's expressvpn.com/Candace. ExpressVPN.com/Candace. All right, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. As a reminder, A Shot in the Dark is available now on Daily Wire Plus, so be sure to click the link in the description and subscribe right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because it's going to be Wednesday and it's going to be fun. We're going to have a brand new episode.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.